Bring through a choice servant of the Lord, Marsha Woolley. So I want you to do something with me this morning, although I am not there in person. I want you to stand to your feet right now and give a very warm welcome to Marsha Woolley as she brings God's Word to your hearts and lives. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.
When I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, until we're standing face to face, and I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. And I can only bow down and say, sing with me, church, that you are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place. Our Father, and you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Just put your hand on your heart and declare it. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. And you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. 'Cause you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Father, I just thank you for your presence in this place right now. And Father, I just get out of the way right now, so that you might have your way with your people, Jesus. Father, I expect things to happen, Lord, because that's why we're here, Jesus. Father, even now, let your healing virtue go across this audience right now, Lord God. Sobre shamondosta maramane. Even right now, right now, right now, there's a mighty healing anointing right now, right now. Oh, Rama Sondo. Some of you came into this place with pain in your body, and even now, right now, oh, Shomondo Rama. Thank you, Jesus. It goes under the mighty anointing of Jesus. Father, every broken heart you heal in the name of Jesus. And I speak peace to every tormented soul in Jesus' name. Father, that not one man, woman, boy, or girl would leave this place as they came. Holy Spirit, you are in control. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty anointing of the Lord in the place today. I want to tell you, you know, if God begins to touch you in the meeting, just go with it. You know, if you need to take a lap, go ahead. I mean, we're here for something to happen. Do you realize that? For some reason, churchgoers think that the only thing happening is up here. It all should be happening out there. So if it starts to happen, please let me know, because I want to know. I'll take a lap with you. I'll take these just uncomfortable shoes off. They'll go flying. Watch people on the front row. Because we're here for something to happen. A few years ago, I read a book. It was just a tiny little book. It didn't have any pictures in it, which is unusual for me. But it changed my life. It was by a man by the name of Dan Duke. And I just think it's just the greatest book in the world. And since then, I've sort of been in contact with him and find out he never preaches anything out of this book. And I'm like, why not? This is just awesome stuff. And he goes, well, just knock yourself out and preach it everywhere you go if you want to. He said, I've never had much success with it. I said, well, it's changed my life, you know? I mean, I think it's awesome. And the little book is called The Power of Your Place. It's very simple principles, but yet it's made a huge difference in my life. I was at a place that I felt like I was just, it's like, you know, do you ever wake up in the morning and go, who am I? What is my name? And where am I going? And people would say, well, how are you doing? I'd say, I'm fine. I'm wandering aimlessly with no purpose in life. It's like, what am I doing? And, you know, I always got where I was going because I was going nowhere, you know? And if you're going nowhere, you'll always end up there. Let me tell you one thing about it. No disappointment in that, you know? But there is an important principle of the power of your place. And I want to minister to you about that this morning. There are benefits to being in your place. And I call them the three P's. The first thing that will happen when you're in your place is you will experience peace. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that your life will be stress-free. If your life, if nothing is going on in your life, I just want to just tell you this one thing. You are probably dead. Because I don't know about you, but stuff happens in my life. I mean, if you get behind the steering wheel and get out on the street, hello, this is Florida. You are going to have stress in your life. If you can drive on I-75 and not have stress, then we need to talk. Because you must be the one inflicting the stress on everyone else. And you know, I don't really know how it happens, because you get up in the morning, everything seems organized, Pastor Jay. I mean, you got your little dress hanging up, your little hose out. But before you know it, the dress does not fit. The hose, yeah, Pastor Jay, sorry. Now, I don't mean him. Actually, there's something we've been wanting to tell you. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you get all organized, don't you? You just know, especially we mothers, you know, we've got it together. We did the bologna sandwiches the night before. We've found how to preserve bologna sandwiches for years. And we've got everything organized. The little lunch boxes are all out. But before 8 a.m., I mean, it's like all hell has broken loose in our kitchen. You just have to cast out demons. You have to cast kids out the door. You have to rebuke the bus. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff happens. And you had it so organized. I mean, I don't know how this happens. Maybe you can explain it to me. You always match. Maybe you know. But having peace in your life doesn't mean that there's absence of conflict. It just means that the storm doesn't get into you. And when you're in your place, you just have this way of just, things are going on, but you're just, because you know that you're in your place. The second benefit of being in your place is power. When you get in your place, you will have a spiritual authority that you've never experienced before. You'll have the unction to function. And you'll just be, I mean, that power will just be there when you're in the right place. My husband, bless his heart, he's just started working nights. And we moved about a week and a half ago. And we moved in with my mom because we're building a house. So we sold our house, we moved in with mom, and we're all still talking. And we're all still saved. But this morning it was so cute. He worked 7 to 7 last night. And he comes walking in and he says, well, I would have been earlier, but I went to the wrong house. I said, what? He goes, and my garage door opener wouldn't work, and I couldn't figure out why people were parked in my driveway. sitting there with the garage door opener. What is wrong here? You see, when you're in the wrong place, you may have the garage door opener, but it ain't coming up because you got the power to the wrong place. So when you're in the right place, you will have power. You see, that's one of the reasons that the devil tries to entice you church members out of your place, because he knows if he can get you out of your place, you will be void of the power that he's bestowed upon your life. So he tries to get you mad. He tries to get you offended. He tries to make anything happen to you so that you'll step out of your place, because you'll lose your anointing and you'll lose the power that comes from being in your appointed place. The third thing that will come from being in your place is provision. Do you hear me? Provision. When you are in the right place that God has put you, you will experience supernatural provision in your life. I want to give you an example. Remember the prophet Elijah? He prophesied that there would be a famine for 3.5 years. And then God told him, go to the brook Cherith. And he said, I'll take care of you. So there went Elijah. Everybody's starving to death. And Elijah goes by the brook Cherith. And what happens? The meals on wings come every day. And he gets meat in the morning and he gets meat and bread in the evening. Here they come, the ravens flying in. Dinner time, you know. And everyone else is starving. But Elijah's by the brook Cherith. He's getting water from the brook. He's being cooled. He's experiencing. His anointing is flowing. He's just happy because God is providing for him, because he's in the place that God told him to be. You see, there are two reasons that the man of God will never go without daily provisions. Number one is because he is in the place that God has told him to be. And number two is because he is doing what God has told him to do. Now, this week I know that the stock market has once again gone down. But let me tell you something. It just doesn't matter. Do you hear me, children of God? It just doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because our provision doesn't come from the stock market. It doesn't even come from your job. That is a channel that God uses to provide for you. But if that channel closes, God will open another channel. Because the Word of God says that we have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. So I don't want you to forget that God is your source. I want you to stand up just for a minute. Pastor Jay, come to the keyboard just a second. Some of you are worried about your retirement. I want to just remind you of something. You can just go to the keyboard, play something, anything. He's going, she is weirder than I thought. Next time Pastor leaves town, Pastor Jay's going to lift his hand and go, I request it not be Marsha Woolley. Play something, anything. Just follow me. You will be blessed in the city. Deuteronomy 28. You will be blessed in the country. That pretty much covers it, even if you live here in Wesley Chapel. And the fruit of your womb will be blessed. And the crops of your land. I declare it over you, church. And the young of your livestock. Woo. And the calves of your herds. And the lambs of your flocks. And I'll just add this, and the dog in your yard. And your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Oh, there's good cooking coming to your house. And you will be blessed when you come in. And you will be blessed when you go out. And the Lord will grant. He will grant that the enemies that rise up against you will be defeated before you. And they will come at you from one direction. But they will flee from you in seven. and the Lord will send a blessing upon your barns. Some of you better get home and build a barn. And everything you put your hand to, the Lord God will bless in the land that He's giving to you. Some of you have been waiting for a home. God's going to give you your own home. Even in this year of recession, God's going to give you your own home. And the Lord will be established. He will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God, and if you walk in His ways, then all the peoples on the earth, they will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. And they will fear you. And the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb. Did you hear that? The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb. And the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground, in the land that He swore to your forefathers to give you. Oh, you can have a spell if you want to. And then the Lord, I said then the Lord, He will open the heavens. I don't care if the stock market's down. It says right here in Deuteronomy 28 that God will open the heavens. Doesn't matter if Wall Street doesn't have a bounty. He said, I will open the heavens and the storehouse of my bounty. And He will send rain on your land in season to bless you. And all the work of your hands, just put your hands up. All the work of your hands He will bless. And you will lend to many nations and borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and you will always be the top and never at the bottom. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Have a seat if you can. Do you get my drift? Doesn't matter. Because we're a blessed people, because His Word says so. There'll always be provision for us. So when we're in our place, there'll be peace, there'll be power, and there'll always be provision. In John 14:2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, I've read that many, many times. And I've always believed, yes, Jesus is going to prepare an eternity for me. But I never really thought about it in depth until I read Dan Duke's book. You see, in the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, one of the perks of being in the garden was that it says every night in the cool of the evening that Adam and Eve would walk with God and they would fellowship with Him. And I can remember my mom used to read me Bible stories every night. It made me want to go to bed. I'm a night person and she knew that, so she was smart. And they had pictures. I really liked that. And I can remember when Adam and Eve got chased from the garden. I'll never forget the picture. There were the angels with the flaming swords, and Adam and Eve were just so, they looked just so sad. And of course, I grew up and got smart and read that a lot of theologians said the reason they were so sad is because they had children in the garden. I don't know. Theologians say a lot of stuff. But as I've thought about it, I believe the reason they looked so sad was because they realized that life as they knew it was over. It wasn't that Adam was going to miss his rose garden. It was that he was going to miss being in the very presence of God. Because you see, up until that time, they could go right into the presence of God. They could go through the veil and right to the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, into the very manifest presence of God. But from that day on, no one could go there. And then Jesus came. And remember, he rent the veil in two. He voluntarily left his place so that I could have a place. He went to prepare for me a place in the very presence of God so I could go right into his presence. Whether I'm in my car, oh, that's a great place. Or whether I'm in my bathtub, that's a good place too. You sound really good singing there. But I could go right into his presence. He went out so that I might go in. And he made a place for me. And you know, he not only made a place for me in the spiritual, and he's not only preparing a place for me there, but he has made an appointed place for me here. And the biggest lie that Satan tells people in the church is, it don't matter what you do. It don't matter if you come. It don't matter if you pray. It don't matter if you sing. Sit way in the back. No one will know. God can't be bothered with you. He's got, you know, AIDS, world peace, all that stuff he's working on. But I want to tell you, he's a good daddy. He's concerned with every little detail of our lives. And it's important to God where you work. It's important to God where you go to church. And he has put you in this congregation, in your Sunday school class, in your work, wherever you are. He has put you there for a reason. In 1 Corinthians 15:46, I want to read to you an interesting scripture. Because a lot of times in church we think everything's spiritual. You know, we're spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. But this scripture talks about how that the natural comes first. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:46, and I'm reading it from the NIV because it's a little less confusing in the NIV. Anybody agree with me sometimes? It says, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. So the natural position comes first, and then the spiritual comes second. You see, when you abandon your naturally appointed place, you will abandon your provision for the supernatural in your life. Think about it. If you're not in the place that God has appointed for you, you're running the risk of losing the supernatural blessings that God has for you. In 1 Corinthians also, chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. You see, God has placed you in the body. Just like our body has, you know, everything's in place. Hopefully, is everyone's body in place this morning? If your body's not in place, come for a special prayer afterwards. Because whatever you do, you want your body to be in place. You don't want your hands and feet to switch, you know, switch places at random. This could cause massive confusion. Plus, your shoes won't fit on your hands. But God has a place for you in this body of believers. He's placed you in your position. He's got you in your city. He's got you in this church. And that's your place. And in your place, you'll experience peace, power, and provision for your life. And let me tell you this. If you abandon your place, you run the risk of losing all of the above. You can't just do what you want because you need to stay in the place that God has put you. Maybe you're in the wrong place, and we'll deal with that in a minute. But you need to get in the place that God wants you. In Exodus chapter 40, Moses had gone through all the trouble of building the tabernacle. Everything was done, but he just hadn't put it all together. And God got really picky on him. Look at your neighbor and say, picky. God can be real picky. He's like mom. Occasionally, there's stuff he's going to be picky about. And God got real picky with Moses. He said, I want you to take all the pieces. I want you to take the Ark of the Presence. I want you to take the showbread. I want you to take the lampstand. I want you to take the golden altar. I want you to take the door, the brass altar, and the laver. And he said, I want you to put them in their place So he and the priest went and they put everything in its place. And then he said in Exodus 40 and verse 9, he says, now I want you, now that everything is in its place, I want you and the priest to go by and I want you to anoint every single thing when it's in its place. You see, church, nothing was anointed until it was set in its place. And the Spirit of God today is assembling a temple. It is not a temple made of hands. But it's important that every member, including you, be in your appointed place. Because nothing could be used in the temple until after it was anointed. I said nothing could be used until after it was anointed. Everything had to be anointed or it wasn't acceptable to God. And that principle is good today. You see, God isn't going to use anyone that doesn't have the anointing, and you won't get the anointing until you get in your place. Well, Marcia, I'm a doer. I mean, I got to be doing stuff, you know? I've always got to be doing stuff. I got to be going here. I got to be going there. Get in your place. I know how hard it is. I'm a doer too. I was telling the first congregation I used to play baseball, and I've never played baseball, but they drafted me to play baseball. They needed someone to play baseball. So they promised me, you never have to play unless someone doesn't show up. Well, don't ever do that because somebody will always not show up. And I'm really not athletic, and I really don't like that game because the ball is really hard, and it really hurts when you catch it. And I really got my prayer life worked up though because every time the ball would be hit, I go, ooh, 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 don't come here, don't come here. No, in the name of Jesus, do not come out here. And then when you do catch it, it really hurts and you break your nail. I don't like that game. Bowling either. Both of those things. The balls are too heavy and too big. They're dangerous. They should be outlawed. And so, you know, I would, the thing was, they would put me way out in another country somewhere for obvious reasons. And then I would get distracted. I mean, there was like a lizard out there, or there'd be something else to look at, or there'd be some girl on the other team that had some really cute shorts, and I'd go, where'd you get those? And then the only thing I ever heard from my coach was, get back in your place. Because he'd go, the ball is coming to you. I'd go, where? He'd go, in your place where you were supposed to be. Because I just had such a hard time staying in my place. And church, so many of us, no matter where pastor puts us or where God puts us, we want to go visit somebody else. And we wonder, why doesn't the anointing come? Because you got to be in your place to catch that ball. And if you'd be in your place and have the mitt on your hand, when it comes, it won't hurt nearly as bad. Because I'd be like sitting on the mitt because I didn't want to get my shorts dirty. Then the ball would come and go, uh-oh, oh no, help me, Jesus. And I'm trying, oh, wrong hand, you know. And that's the way most of us are. We pray for action, and then when action comes, we run, oh no. Somebody's here that's demon-possessed. Well, let me go get somebody that knows what they're doing. I'll be right back. We need to all be ready. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, be ready. Amen. Be in your place and be ready. So when they hit the ball to you, you can go, come on, just hit it out here. I dare you to hit it out here. I want this game to be over. You're going down. Hit it out here. We need to learn the beauty of being in our place. You see, the lampstand in the tabernacle, it just stood there and was the lampstand. It wasn't a dua. It just stood there. And here, Moses came by and the priest, and they filled it with oil and they trimmed the wicks. What do you think pastor does every Sunday? He fills us with oil. And those sermons that hurt, ouch, ouch, he's trimming our wicks. And then the fire of God comes down. The lampstand shines. It just stands there. Let the church be the church. Somebody said, well, what do you expect the church to feed all the hungry people and home all the homeless people and help everybody? Yes, I do. What's wrong with that? We've got enough muscle that we can do it. There's enough money in the earth that we can do it. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. And notice when everybody got in their place, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. His glory filled the house. when the body stood and they were all in one accord and they were anointed, His glory filled the house. You see, some of you are experiencing an awful lot of shaking in your world. You don't even know what's going on because God's shaking so many things in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, church, we're going through a time of shaking because God is shaking people out of the place that they're not supposed to be and shaking them into the place that they are supposed to be. So change is not bad. Change is good. Look at your neighbor and say, change is good. Well, you've been teaching that Sunday school class for 452 million years. And maybe people are coming now, and they're coming because they're related to you. Maybe that's not your gifting. I'm not kidding. Maybe it's not your gifting. Maybe God's going to shake you out of there and open another door for you, and you're going to get in the right place. I mean, you're going to become a greeter, and maybe you have got the greeting anointing on your life, and you're going to shine, and you're going to shake hands with people, and they're just going to get so excited. Change is good. Look at your neighbor and say, change is good. Some of you, a whole lot of shaking's going on in your life. Hallelujah. I want to take a lap with her. Whole lot of shaking's going on in your life, but shaking is good. Remember when Ezekiel saw all the dead bones? All of a sudden, what began to happen? Shaking. Shaking, 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 shaking. And those dead bones, what do dead bones do? Nothing. What do some of us do? Nothing. But I mean, a lot of shaking started going on. And when the shaking began to happen, I mean, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones connected to the knee bone. And I mean, a mighty army rose up out of those dead bones. God raised up men that stood up as a mighty army for Him. The enemy wants to shake and bake you, but God wants to shake and quake you. Yeah. So shaking's not a bad thing. It's critical that you be in your place. And notice that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases Him. Not as it pleases them. Ever get in a place you don't like? You know, like this morning, the Lord's asking me to teach you a little bit. And I don't like to be, you know, notes. I'm like, notes, God. I don't like notes. And He's like, shut up and teach from your notes. Yes, sir. I can't do a lot, but I can follow orders. Because there are benefits that come with your place. There's power that comes with your place. There's authority that comes with your place. There's anointing that comes with your place. What am I saying? Be in your place. In Judges chapter 7 and verse 21 is one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. It's the account of Gideon. I love that. They were outnumbered. They were outarmed. Honey, those guys were out everything. And then God told them to use the strangest weapons. He said, get your trumpets and your pitchers. Well, that'll work, God. I mean, basically their pitchers were kind of like those clay flower pots that we use, you know. And they got their trumpets. Okay, this makes sense. Now we're going to be killed and we're going to be holding flower pots on our head. You know, this is good. I've learned not to question, just to do. I followed my dad around long enough. You're talking about the kids are always asking, are we going to eat? I used to ask that all the time because no kidding, when my dad was alive, we'd go 3 days in Africa and not eat. I'd say, hello, can we eat? He'd go, we ate 3 days ago. He was called. Eating was just something that you did when you were bored. And he was never bored. But here's Gideon's 300 men. And they all stood in their position. They all had their trumpets. And they all had their pots or their pitchers. And I'm going to tell you what. God says, I want a man and a woman and a boy and a girl that says, I'm a weak, dumb nobody, God. I don't know what to do. And God says, don't worry. You're perfect for the job. Just stand there. Hold up that trumpet. Let my breath blow through it. And when my breath blows through it, the enemy is going to flee. Just stand there and hold that pitcher. And I mean, it may be a cracked pitcher, but when my fire falls on it, the enemy's going to see the light shining through it, and the Midianites are going to flee out of your life because of the power that's behind it. And it says in Judges 7 and 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and the host ran, and they cried, and they fled because everyone was in their place. stand and lift your voice and let His light shine from your broken vessel. And the Midianites in your life will flee. I'm going to tell you what, when you get in your place, even the demons will flee from you. That's why the enemy wants to entice you out of your place. That's why there's so little glory in the church. Because the place of unity is the place of glory. And you can only have true unity when you're abiding in the place that God has appointed for you to stand. You may say, well, Marcia, how do I recognize my place? Okay, I'm going to ask you this. How's your peace? How's your power? And how's your provision? Maybe it's time you take inventory. Now, don't get frantic. A lot of us, we get frantic. I'm not in my place. I know I'm not in my place. She preached this morning. I know I'm not in my place. I'm going to visit 25 churches before service tonight. I know I'm not in my place. I'm going to be leaving. I'm not in my place. You know what I found out? This is after 41 hard years. God is never in a hurry. If you don't believe that, go to a Pentecostal church service. Heard a joke this week. The preacher, they went to a Baptist church. He took off his watch. Two little boys sitting on the front row. One little boy says to the other, you know what that means? He goes, yeah, he's going to preach 30 minutes. That's it. 30 minutes, not a second more. He said, sure enough, he did. Next week, they went to a Lutheran church. He said, what does that mean? The guy took off his watch. He says, he's going to preach 15 minutes tops. That's it. It's all done. Next week, their mom took him to a Pentecostal church. The guy took off his watch. He goes, what does that mean? He goes, not a single thing. God's not in a hurry. It says in Isaiah 28:16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. God isn't in a hurry, so don't you get in a hurry. God has a plan for you, and He has a place for you. Now, this, I hope this isn't going to be too hard for you, what I'm going to tell you. How do I know my place? Okay, are you ready? You note takers, get ready. Yes, Lord? How do I know my place? Ask God. I'll give you a minute so you can write that down. Ask God. You know, Christianity isn't a do-it-yourself kit. You don't come to the front, we give you the... Yeah, that's what we do. We take you to the back, we give you a kit. Do the best you can. See you at the rapture. But God talks to us. Many times, you know, some people say, I never hear God talk. Well, do you ever listen? A lot of us are rude. We pray. God bless Aunt Tilly, Aunt Myrtle, Crepe Myrtle, whatever. And then we're done. That's rude. If you pray 15 minutes, listen 15. If you get close to Him, He'll speak to you. I have a little dog and he's so cute. He's so ugly, he's cute. He's Apricot, little Apricot poodle. And he just demands attention. If you sit down, it doesn't matter how little your chair is, he will wiggle in there with you. And sometimes I get so aggravated with him because I'm trying to do stuff. But I look down at him and he's smiling. Anyone have a dog that smiles? And you just have to pick him up and love him. If you're not paying attention to him, he'll go dump the trash can over, get out paper, tear it up. Pay attention to me. Hello, I'm here. Remember me? Your dog. I need love. Now. And you know, we need to be that way with God. If you nuzzle up to Him, it doesn't matter if He is working on world peace or something. He'll drop it for you. Because He just can't resist that person that wants to be close to Him. And if you'll just nuzzle up to Him, if you'll just follow Him everywhere He goes, God, I want to be where You are. I want to do what You want me to do. Oh, God, this is so much fun. What can I do? Where can I go? What can I do? Where can I go? He's going to find something for you to do. And He'll tell you what you need to know. Don't seek a place. So many people even choose a church based on what we'll let them do when they get here. Well, can I be in charge? I mean, I've been here a week. I used to think, yeah, you'll get a little bit of what I've had a whole lot of. It's fun being in charge for like 5 minutes. Then after that, it's kind of downhill sometimes, isn't it? Don't seek a place. Just seek the Lord. You know, I work for Jenny Craig. And I found one thing over the last few months, and that's that we're all a mess without Jesus. We really are. And you know what? We're incapable of changing ourselves. We go on a diet. We know what to eat. We know. I know what to eat. I tell other people what to eat. Put the Twinkie down. It's really bad when you work at a weight loss place because then what do you eat? Okay, we're done. Let's go for pizza. You know, that lady talked about pizza for 30 minutes. But you know what? We do what we know to do, but we can only have good behavior for so long a time. And then we go back to the way we were. And sometimes we're worse than the way we were. Because you know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that if God, the only thing that can bring change into the heart of man is God. That's it. And the only way that you will effectively change your life is to get into His presence. Because when you get in God's presence, He will speak things into your life that will change you forever and ever. Amen. And I don't care what area it is. I don't care if it is food. I don't care if it is worry. I don't care what it is. Only God can change the heart of man. We can try with willpower, but willpower only works so long. We can try with skill power, but skill power only works so long. We can try and educate you, but that will only work so long. Only God can change a man or a woman's heart. And so if you really want change in your life, get into God's presence and say, God, change me, change me, change me, change me, so I can be what you've called me to be, so I can go where you've called me to go, so I can do what you've called me to do, God. Change me, God, into your image, and change me, God, from glory to glory, and change me, God. And I leave the past behind me now. And change me, God, pressing on. I want to be like you. The one thing that I hear in church so much is, I'm waiting. You know what you're waiting on? You're waiting on God to correct little things in your life that you don't think are quite right. And you think that that disqualifies you to do whatever God's called you to do. And so you wait. And you think, ooh, I got it now. Then just when you think you got it, you find out it's like 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. And 2 steps forward. Just when you think you got it. By George, I think I've got it. And then something happens and you think, okay, that's it. This is not going to happen. But let me just give you a piece of information. You ladies will understand this. The day is never going to come when your hair is right and your skin is not broken out and you can fit into your size 6 and your shoes match. It's just not going to happen. It will never all line up that way. So just go on with your bad self the way you are and just say, God, I'm going to press on and I trust you to change me, God. Because I'm done. I've done all I can do, and I failed, and I admit it. But God, I'm going to go on. I'm going to witness for you. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to go on, God. I'm going to fill the place that you've called me to fill. You've been dealing with me about teaching a Sunday school class, God. And I keep saying, when I get smarter, and I just get dumber and dumber, God. So I'm just going to go ahead and trust you, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to believe that when I open my mouth, God, that you're going to fill it. Because I realize that I'm a mess without you, Jesus. But you know what the awesome thing about I'm a mess with you, Jesus ministry is? I'm a mess without you, Jesus ministry is? It's real. You'll really help somebody. Because when you stand up there and go, oh, I'm perfect. I woke up. Everything was perfect. Before I jumped out of my bed, it was made. There is no dust in my house and we never fight. All my cakes rise to the top. And when I get on my scale, there's always a happy number there. You are from another planet and you need to go there. But when you get up and you say, you know what, I'm a mess, but Jesus is helping me. You know what, other people say, all right, I can do it too. God is calling real people to minister the real gospel, and it really helps other people. It's time that the church get real. You see, we saw all the little Cupid dolls, you know, all the superstars for so many years, and then we found out that things weren't as they appeared. I went in Pastor's green room today, and it just cracked me up. It's like all the stuff in his shower. I'm like, what's the story here? There's like screwdrivers. There's a dancing military doll. You know, it's like, okay, Pastor. He does use very good hair gel, though, because I washed my hands with it accidentally. God will speak to you. You see, when God sends you to a place, you'll feel a sense of destiny. And many of you know what I'm saying because you feel that even here in this place. You sense connection. You say, I'm here because God put me here and what goes on is my business. When God places you in a church, everything that you need will follow. If you're a minister and you have a ministry gift, God will provide open doors. Don't seek open doors, but go seeking God and He'll open the doors for you. When you walk through the doors of the place that God has placed you, worship and praise will spring forth. When it comes time to give, you'll give. When it comes time to sacrifice, you'll sacrifice. When sailing gets rough, you'll sail and you won't bail. Because man didn't place you there, God placed you there. I had a precious little grandmother and she had two sons, my father and my uncle. And by the time my father was born, my grandfather had already moved to another state and was remarried. And eventually he had five other children with his wife in another state. But my grandmother never wanted to divorce him because church was very important to her. And back in those days, divorce was like the worst sin that you could ever commit. And she was a trustee on the board of her church. And that precious lady, she did everything to raise those boys. She sold encyclopedias door to door. She sold silver door to door. But eventually God blessed her. And she built one of the biggest real estate companies in Norfolk, Virginia. And she was very successful. And my dad said she was a wonderful mother. He played football and he said he never ever once looked up in the stands that his mom wasn't there to support him. And after my father was born, they very rarely ever saw their father. And finally, just before my dad went to Africa as a missionary, he said, Mom, you know, you really need to just drop the paperwork and be finished with Dad because he's in another state. He has five children. And so you really need to just, you need to legally separate from him. And she said, Bill, I don't want to do that because, I mean, we're not living together. But she said, I just don't want, you know, people to say what they're going to say. And Dad said, Mom, you need to do it. He said, I'll feel safer if you do it. He was afraid that my grandfather was violent. He was afraid something would happen while he was in Africa. So they finished the paperwork, and it came out in the paper. And the Sunday after it came out in the paper and the divorce was actually final, my grandmother went to church, and her pastor met her at the door. And he said, Mrs. Lovick, I read about your divorce in the paper. And she said, yes, sir. And he said, I want you to know that you're no longer a trustee of this church. And she said, yes, sir, I know. She said, if you'll read your mail, I actually resigned the day before it came out in the paper. And my letter of resignation is there. And he said, well, no, not only are you no longer a trustee of this church, but you are no longer a member. of this church. My grandmother bowed her back and she said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, I was here when you came, and I'm going to be here when you leave, God willing. She said, because God put me in this place, not you. And she said, when He moves me out, I will move. But until He does, I'm staying in my place. Has something happened to upset you, causing you to leave your place? Well, I'll teach them. I'm leaving. They don't appreciate me anyway. They don't know what a gift I am to the world at large. I'm the Apostle Universal. Do you know what you're leaving? You're leaving behind your peace and your provision and your power. And I just have one thing to say to you. Get back there quick. Stay in your place. If you're not sure, seek God, and He'll place you. It's a horrible thing to be out of your place. Turn to 2 Samuel, and I'll show you. Second Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. In the spring, at a time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. And they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Kings were supposed to be out to war. David was a king, but he decided to call in sick that day. A lot of us do that from time to time. I just don't think I'm going to go to church this week. I just think I'll rest. You better be in your place. Somebody needs you. You might need to be in your place more than anybody needs you to be in your place. Because of what David did, calling in sick one day, he just missed one little battle. Wasn't a biggie. He had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba because of that. He murdered her husband to attempt to conceal his sin. He married her. And then their baby died. And he brought reproach on Israel. He violated his place in God. And he defiled his kingship. Because he was not in the right place one time. Be in your place. But there are benefits, ladies and gentlemen, to being in the right place. Turn to 2 Kings. Chapter 2. One of my favorite accounts, they're all my favorite, of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had followed this man throughout his ministry and he knew what he wanted. And notice I'm going to read it. He wasn't about to quit until he got it. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "But do not speak of it." And when Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho," he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets in Jericho went up to Elijah and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. And Elijah took his cloak, he rolled it up, and he struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over onto dry ground. And when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Elijah saw this and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, Elisha did, and he tore them apart. But he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, and he went back and he stood at the bank of the Jordan, and he took the cloak that had fallen from him and he struck the water with it. And he said, "Where now is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Talk about being at the right place at the right time. He said, "I know what I want, and I know my place is beside this man, and I don't even care if this man tells me to go. I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to follow him, because what I'm after is something greater than what even he has. And when he goes, I'm going to catch that cloak, and a double portion of what is his will be mine, because I am not leaving my place that God has put me in until I see him do what he's told me he's going to do, until I feel it, until I see it, until I experience it, until I know that what he's put me here for has come to pass, until my destiny is fulfilled. Cancer will not take me. Disappointment will not take me. Depression will not cripple me, because I'm going to stand in my place until I see what he's promised me." And some of you stand in that place today. God's placed big things in your heart and big things in your emotions, but big things have come against you. But I come here today in the name of the Lord to tell you to rise up from where you are, that you will see it in the land of the living, and you will taste it, and you will experience what God has promised you. I don't care what the obstacles are. When I was a little girl growing up in Africa, I'll never forget, my dad was looking for a brick mason one time. And this guy turned up and he said, "I know y'all don't want to go home anyway. Do ya? The Lord's done captured you. I bet Pastor's sad he's missing this opportunity." This little guy came to our house and he said, "My name is Asimano." He said, "I'm a brick mason." He said, "I'm the best brick mason in my village." My dad said, "Okay, you're hired. I need a brick mason." He didn't tell my dad that he was the only brick mason in his village. He was the most horrible brick mason you could ever imagine. If there was 100 different levels, he could lay a brick at every level. He could never get two alike. But he began to come to church and he began to know Jesus as a Savior. And one day he came to my dad and he said, I want to preach." Dad said, "Oh God." He said, "No, I feel called to preach." Dad said, "Lord, what are you doing?" He said, "This guy is driving me crazy. He's a brick mason. Now he wants to preach." And he said, "No, I want to preach." So Dad said, "Okay." He said, "Well, you need to learn to read and write," because he didn't know how to read and write. So there was a missionary up country at the Bible school that, you know, you don't think about this in America, but in Africa, when pastors come to Jesus, many times they don't know how to read and write. So before you can go to Bible school, you got to learn how to read and write. So Dad sent him up country and he told the missionary, you know, he said, this boy has a lot of challenges. This man, you know, he really has learning challenges. He said, "We've been through the brick thing with him and, you know, he's challenged." And the guy said, Bill, this is what I do. He said, I have taught the dumb of the dumb of the dumb of the dumb, and I will deal with this guy. Dad said, fine. So he put Asimano and his little family in his truck, and he took them up into the bush where the missionary was, where the Bible school was. And Asimano was so excited. And Dad prayed with them, took their little belongings out. He was ready to go in ministry. 2 weeks later, Dad got a telegram. Come get your man. Dad got there. He said, what's wrong? I thought you said you could teach anybody. He said, I can teach anybody except for this guy. He said, I've worked with this guy for 2 weeks on the ABCs. He said, I show him A, this is A. Asimano say A, A. This is A. Now this is B. He said, we go through the whole thing. He said, when I show him the letter A, 1 second later, he'll say anything from B to Z, but he will never say A. He said, Doc, this guy is unteachable. My dad said, are you serious? I can't tell this guy he's unteachable. He said, he knows it. He cannot learn to read or write. He can't. He just can't. My dad went and he said, Asimano was so dejected. And he took him and he put him in the back of his truck. And pastor said, come on, Asimano, get in the front and let's talk on the way home. He said, no, pastor. He said, I just want to pray. And dad said, as he drove home, it just broke his heart because he could hear Asimano praying. He said, God, I feel your call in my life so strong, but Lord, I'm so stupid. I can't even learn letters, God. How can I preach if I can't read your word? And he said, God, I know I'm nothing. I know I have nothing. But God, your call burns in my heart. And Lord, I can't read letters, but Lord, every scripture I've ever heard, I've hid it in my heart. And God, I want you to use me so much, God. I'll do anything for you to use me, God. And Dad said, the man just cried all the way back to Basari. And Dad said it just broke his heart. And he got back to Basari, and Asimano just continued to fast and pray. And there's a little village that Dad was getting ready to establish a church in, and he had a pastor picked out to go there. The pastor's name was Claude, because Claude was kind of sophisticated. He wore clothes and stuff, you know. And they were sort of sophisticated in that village. And so Dad said, Claude will be great. And Dad had been grooming Claude, and Claude was all ready to go. Just a few weeks, Claude was going to go. Well, here comes Asimano, and he goes, I've been praying, and God wants me to pastor in that village. And Dad said, oh, man. He said, Asimano, you can't, you know, you didn't do good at learning to read, and how are you going to pastor? And those people are sophisticated, Asimano. They're going to chew you up and spit you out. And he said, I know, pastor, but God is calling me. And I mean, he really worried my dad until finally my dad thought, well, what difference does it make? Claude won't be ready for a couple weeks. I'll take Asimano out there. He'll, you know, mess up, and then I'll go get him when I take Claude back out there. He said, what difference does it make? So Dad took Asimano out there and left him, prayed with him. They'd already built the little church building and a little hut behind it for the pastor to live. So Asimano and his family kind of got moved in there. About 2 weeks later, just before he was ready to go take Claude, a courier came in the night from the commandant. Said, you better come to Kabul. There's a big problem there. Dad thought, oh my Lord, what has he done? Dad went there. He had to park his Jeep 2 miles from the church because the streets were filled with people. They're screaming, make him king. Make him king. Make him king. Dad thought, oh my Lord, it's worse than I ever anticipated it could be. He thought, surely they didn't want to make Asimano king. He walked into the church. I mean, streets filled, thousands of people from that nation. Asimano's asleep right in front of the altar. That's the thing about Asimano. I never saw a person that could sleep anywhere like this guy. What a peace he had on his life, really. And Dad went in there. He said, Asimano, get up. He goes, oh, pastor, hi. What are you doing here? He said, the commandant sent somebody to get me. There's a riot outside your church. Have you noticed? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed. He said, what's going on? He said, well, it was kind of like you said, you know, I preached for about a week. Nobody came. They threw stuff at me. They laughed at me. He said, I was really getting discouraged. He said, and then I went to the market for my wife. And you know, you ladies think you have it bad here in America because you got to go to Publix. But in Africa, you got to take stuff to trade at the market when you go there. So you go with groceries and you leave with different groceries, okay? So he said, my wife needed some eggs, so I went with yams to trade at the market for eggs. And he said, I walked into the market, and he said, you know that crazy guy that lives here in this village? Well, let me tell you what. There's crazy, and then there was this guy. This guy, whenever we would drive into the village of Kabu, he was horrible looking. And he would jump on the fender of the Jeep, and he would urinate all over the front of it. He would slobber all day, and he would try and rip the windshield wipers off the Jeep. He said, you remember that guy? Dad said, yeah, I remember him. He made quite an impression on all of us every time we come here. He said, well, I went to the market, and that guy was there. And he said, I went into the market, and God spoke to me, and he said, if you will lay your hands on him, I will heal him. And he said, Pastor, it about scared me to death. He said, I thought, no way. They think I'm weird enough in this village. I'm not touching that guy. I will not do it. Pastor told me to stay out of trouble. I will not do it. I will not do it. He said, I just said, I will not do that. And he said, so I went, I traded my yams for my eggs, and just to make sure that I didn't do that, I exited the opposite side of the market. He said, but you know what, Pastor? That crazy guy had followed me around. He said, and there he was. He said, and God just kept talking to me, and I didn't mean to cause trouble, Pastor. I was trying to be good. But he said, I thought, well, okay, I'll pray for him then, but I'm going to be real quiet. And he said, I took my eggs and I put them down on the ground, and I thought, now God, help me be sophisticated. And he said, I was going to pray real quiet, and I just very softly put my hand on, but he said, something happened, Pastor. I apologize. He said, you know how I get when the Holy Ghost comes on me? Dad said, yeah. He said, well, that happened. And he said, before I knew it, I was praying real loud. And he said, I was speaking in tongues. Then I made it go on a really long time because I was afraid to open my eyes. And he said, I opened my eyes, and the guy stood up. And he looked at me right in the eye. And he said, take me home. And he said, I took him home. He said, he speaks English like you do. And he said, he speaks French too. He went to school in Paris, Pastor. You know where Paris is? Dad said, yeah. He said, he's the chief's son. He was supposed to be chief here. But his younger brother poisoned him. And he's been insane for 25 years now. He said, this nation is by right his. And that's why they're saying, make him king. Because God has healed him. And he's in his right mind. He said, let me introduce you to him. My dad said, one of the handsomest Africans he's ever seen came out. He was groomed and clean. And he said, Pastor Lovett, my name is Yankee. And he reached out and shook my dad's hand. And then he fell at my dad's feet and he said, I want to thank you so much for sending Asamano here. Thank you, Pastor. Dad said, I didn't send him, believe me. Dad said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know. He said, it is my right to be king of this nation. He said, I don't know what the right thing to do, but I know someone that does know. And he said, I'm going to ask him. He went and he knelt and prayed. And after several hours, he came back and he said, Pastor, I've made up my mind. He said, I really don't want to be king. He said, I want to be just like Asamano. He said, I want to be a preacher. Would you let me stay with him? Would you let me learn how to be a preacher? Dad said, yes. And together they announced to those mobs of people that he'd chosen that he'd rather preach the gospel. Asamano and Yankee teamed up and they became one of the mightiest evangelistic teams in West Africa. A few months later, Dad had a big pastor's meeting and they all used to make fun of Asamano. And Yankee came up to Dad and he said, let Asamano read the scripture today. And he said, let it be John 3:16. And Dad said, okay. And he said, Asamano, would you please read the scripture? And all the pastors laughed because they knew he was a simple bushman. And Dad said, he stood very proudly and opened his Bible. And he said, car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique. Yankee had taught him how to read. And he was so proud. Together, those two men traversed Africa, and for 16 years they ministered together. Literally over 3 million people came to Jesus in their ministry. They documented, because Yankee kept very good notes, they documented 7 people raised from the dead under their ministry. And at the end of those 16 years, my dad was called very urgently to come to the village, and he went. Yankee had become very ill. He'd contracted typhoid, and he passed away. And Daddy said he stood and he preached that man's funeral. This was a man who was born to be a king, but instead he chose to be a servant. You see, you may be born to all kinds of things, but today, what do you choose? Has God laid His hand on you? Yes, He has. And it's up to you whether you answer the call and whether you stand in the place that He's called you to be. I don't always understand God's taste. He calls the most unlikely people. But it's to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's why He chooses us. He chooses empty people many times because He wants to flow from you, not you from you. And on the times that I feel that I'm most qualified, I'm the least qualified. And on the days that I know that I'm weak, He is strong. So today I ask you, I beg you, to get into the place God has called you. Men and women and boys and girls stand and they wait for you. They're hungry for what you have. They just don't know it. They're thirsty for what you drink of every day. They just don't know it. They need Jesus so desperately. And it depends on us. We can't take a mental vacation. God has called us. It's not just pastor. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not just pastor. Pastor is one man. It's us. If we bring him, he'll preach to him. The thing is, we got to preach to him with our life, so that they'll come. You're not in your job by accident. You're not even in your seat by accident. Today, you're not in this place by accident. God has appointed that you would be here because today is the day of change for you. You've tried to change and you've been unsuccessful. Well, join the crowd. Is there anything that I can do for you? Is there anything that I can do? For all the things you've done for me, is there anything that I can do? And is there anywhere that I can go for you? Is there anywhere that I can go? For all the places you've